You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Let me be active in my Christian faith and get out and go do. No, you can never get out and go do well until you become a very good listener. That's why we took that part first. Some people want to get out and begin to evangelize, get out and begin to make a difference for Christ. Good. That's wonderful. You need to listen and be trained and know what you're getting into and know how Satan operates, and you're not anywhere near as mature as you probably think you are, and you need a lot of teaching and a lot of correcting. So there's a lot of listening that's good. It's not listening and doing. It's just don't be merely a listener, right?
James implores his readers to live lives of obedience and action. A life of faith is trying to put into practice what Jesus said and follow his example of how to live. However, as Pastor Tom will point out today, you can't simply live a life of just doing good for God. You can't ignore the listening part. You need to intentionally listen to the Bible and meditate on it, which will cause your heart to want to obey. Good listening will prompt conviction and guide your actions and decisions to go live out your faith. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Scriptural Application, Why It Is Vital.
Sundays we listen to the Word of God. Sundays we make our families look like they're a nice Christian family. But not Mondays, certainly not Tuesdays, and the rest. That's not practicing the Word. Would you agree? There's nothing brilliant in that. Doers of the Word, listen to the Word. They listen to sermons. They listen to the reading of Scripture. They listen as they read Scripture, as they read their devotional books. They listen with an intent that when they're done listening, they're gonna do something. They're gonna change something. They're gonna add some obedience to a weaker obedience. They're gonna correct an attitude. There's gotta be a change. There's no change, not a doer. James, and may I add, the Holy Spirit, insists on ongoing practice of the Word of God. A lifetime of practice of the Word of God. Isn't that what a disciple is? A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. What are you doing following him? You're obeying him. You're listening to him. Scripture reading we had, he says, I want you to go into the city and I want you to find this colt and I want you to do such and such. And it says the disciples listened and they did exactly what Jesus said. They were followers. They obeyed him. They practiced the word that Christ gave to them. The word. When we say the word, what do we mean? We mean the word of God. What did James mean here in this context? The word. The word of God. That's not hard. The same word that was implanted in you, verse 18, the same word you're to receive, welcome into your life, is an authoritative word. It carries authority with it. It is the Word of God. And we're so used to saying that, we don't listen to that. The Word of God, the voice of God, the teachings of God Almighty, the commandments of He who sits on the eternal throne. You hear it? He's talking in this book. When we hear this book, well, the reason why we respond to it is we recognize it for what it is. It's the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Most High. Now, the Jews were pretty used to hearing something like this exhortation from James. In their synagogues, and before Christ had come, the rabbis would say things like, now make sure you're practicing the word. Make sure you're practicing the law of God. Don't just read the law of God. Go out and do and perform the law of God. And so there was a lot of external performance. The Jews were aware of that, and they would practice that. In fact, this goes back to Exodus 24:7. There, Moses took the book of the covenant and read it. This has the law in it. He read it in the hearing of the people. This is at the very beginning when they received the law. And then the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. Well, it was a nice intent. They understood the voice of God comes in the law of God. Today people say, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. No, God tells you to do this. This is where God speaks, right here. And this is a living book. It's fresh. It comes out with a message. The Spirit of God takes it and makes that. Whenever someone has an impression or something that's outside of this scripture, that's not God talking. That's their conscience. That's the world. That's another spirit. It's not God. And you need to be very careful with that and discerning. James is writing to Jews, and these Jews believed Jesus was the Messiah. They'd come to faith in him. They were gathered in the diaspora. They'd heard the gospel, and they were gathering together in homes or whatever building they could find. And now he's writing to them. This isn't really something new. He's saying, be a doer of the word. He's reminding them of the importance of that. In fact, an active faith is a lot of what the book of James is about. Would you just glance forward to chapter 2 in James? It'll be a long time before we get there, but I want you to see it. Start at verse 14 of chapter 2. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Now notice it says no works. Obviously, if you have some works, then that's helpful, but no works. I have faith, but you can't see any works coming out of him. Then he asks, can that faith save him? In other words, can that kind of a faith save a person like that? And the answer is no, because it's not really a true faith. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. So whatever faith we're talking about, a Christian faith, a faith that saves us, is a faith that is active. It does something. It moves us. That's what James is saying in here. It's the theology behind these exhortations. By the way, James's half-brother Jesus, remember, he's his half-brother, taught the same thing at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's turn to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and see that, because you see a heavy emphasis in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7. Turn back to Matthew 7, towards the close of that, really in what is the conclusion to the sermon. Let's start with verse 21. And look at the emphasis he puts, and you'll say, why isn't Jesus talking about faith here? He is. He's talking about the kind of faith that listens so as to obey. Verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Who gets in? Those who do, not those who say, oh, Lord, Lord. No. That's not going to be it. It's going to be, what did you do when I taught you? Did you practice it? If you did, then your faith was real, and you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Go a little further, and he ends with a parable. Verse 24, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. He goes on to talk about the opposite as well, right? Do the word, and I'll bless you. Don't do the word, and your life will come to ruin. You say, where is being saved by faith? It's in there, because a salvation, a faith that leads to salvation, is a faith that leads to increasing steps of obedience. It's the only way to harmonize that. He's not teaching that we earn salvation by our works. He's saying that if you're going to be saved, you have to have the kind of faith that doesn't just profess, Lord, 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 Lord. Your Lord, where's the obedience? Where's the life change? I think this is a message that the American church needs to hear, because it's so easy to come to church in America. There's no cost to it. And so we tend to attract within the church those that are really not serious at all about obeying the word. They like to hear things. Scripture is to be obeyed. Scripture is to be practiced. Scripture is to be applied. Let me give you another one. Luke 11. Verses 27 and 28. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, that she's the first modern-day Roman Catholic. She said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Do you get my point? Blessed is Mary, though she didn't know the name. Jesus didn't go along with that. In verse 28, he said, On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Jesus was a Protestant. Took you a little bit of time there. It's not about blessing Mary, it's about doing the word of God. No, he wasn't a Protestant, but you know what I'm trying to say. The Protestant Reformation was all about that. What happened to the word of God? It's like this much in the service, you know? Moved the other stuff out of the way, brought the pulpit back, slammed the Bible on top there, and told this guy, do that. Preach it. The word. And the people started to hear, and the people start to grow, and now the word is honored, and the people start to obey that. That's what the Protestant Reformation is all about. Sola Scriptura. It's only Scripture. Because only God talks in Scripture today. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. We know by this that we have come to know God if we keep His commandments. Not if I have a wonderful feeling in my heart. You don't gain assurance merely from subjective mystical experiences. You gain assurance of salvation by the fact that you see something changed in me. And now I'm wanting to do, not perfectly. And really, your growth in the assurance that you are saved will parallel your growth in obedience to the Word of God. The more you push that word down, the more doubt you'll have about your own salvation. 1 John 3, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before God. People doubt their salvation, doubt their salvation. Why? Because you're not obeying God. Because you're not obeying God. Of course you're going to doubt. As long as you're not obeying God, you're going to always be doubting your salvation. The Holy Spirit will never reinforce an awareness and a conviction that you're one of God's children if your life is characterized by disobedience. It just will never happen. You'll never get joy. You'll go into depression. So we can't take obedience lightly. Now we come back to James. We look at the negative side, the other half of verse 22 there. Prove yourselves doers of the word. And then he adds this, and I'm glad he adds it, and not merely hearers. Some people really don't like the negative statements in the Bible. You know, it's always about accentuating the positive. Let me tell you why I like the negative statements in the Bible. They add clarification and definition to my mind. I mean this, and I don't mean this. And when you put those side by side, I'm like, oh, because I might think I'm doing the positive command until he says, and not this, and I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. So I thought I could do that and that. Nope. So the negative commands help me to understand the positive commands as well. And so we don't want to push them away. They're very important. This defines better what it means to be a doer. What is a doer? He's not merely a listener. He's not merely a hearer. Hearers. Akroates. Word just means a listener. That's what it means. I tried to do a little digging here in terms of the culture. Greco-Roman culture was known for having lots of listeners. The philosophers love to debate, sit around, hear a good debate about what's truth, and listen to one another. They had entertainment, they had theaters, they'd go, they'd like to hear a good orator. There were some evidently very skilled Greek orators that would mesmerize the crowds, get them laughing and crying and raising their emotions this way and that way, retelling some of Roman history, and they had very, very good orators. And they went to those things expecting just to hear. They would come for that. It was for entertainment. It was wow. And so there were many places in society where people were just hearers. They went merely to hear. That's exactly what they did. We have the same thing today. Would you agree? We have our movies. We have our concerts. We have our guest lecturers. Our philosophers, those who wow the crowds, politicians. And even though we know nothing they're saying, some of these politicians is true, we're like, wow, they're a good speaker. And we come there and listen, and we hear. And that's what we are in those contexts. We're just hearers. We're not planning on changing our lives when we listen to anything like that. I hope you're not. We might leave the movie theater just really moved and crying and all of that. You get home, sleep it off and everything like that. Next day, it hasn't changed you. You know what I'm talking about? We just listen. We nod our heads when we agree, and we kind of go like this when we disagree. Even in school, there are some students who take classes, and they're called auditing classes, right? They're auditors. They've come to hear. They don't want to take any tests. They don't want to write any papers. They don't want to do anything. They want to listen, pick up some knowledge maybe. They're auditors. They're auditing a class. Auditors are not disciples. They're just auditors. They're to fly on a wall, listening in. That's it. Disciples are disciples. Followers are disciples. They hear and do. The others just hear, right? I like to tell the children in Hope Academy when I speak in their chapels, boys and girls, this is not just another subject. Don't treat Bible and chapel time like science or social studies or literature or whatever. Those things, sometimes you listen. It doesn't change your life. This is one, when you listen, you need to not just be listening for something new that you didn't know. Oh, I've never heard that story before. You need to be listening so God talks to your heart and changes that little heart of yours. To you, I would say, do not be an auditor of God's word. Do not come in here with an attitude that says, you know, I'm just kind of like, just kind of scoping things out. I'm not talking about joining of the church. I'm talking about your listening to the word of God. Don't be an auditor of God's word. My apologies to those of you in the back row today. Don't sit in the back row every single week and act like you're not going to get involved in the word of God. You don't want to be anywhere near it. I know you may have other reasons. But you know what I'm saying. I just kind of come in and listen. You're an auditor of the word of God. That's not obedience to God. And worst of all, don't be a person who hops from church to church. Oh, that was a nice sermon. Critiquing sermons. I don't know, did the Lord gift you to come down to earth and critique all the sermons in the area churches? Is that your contribution to the body of Christ? The laughter tells you all you need to know. The word merely shows that listening is not bad, by the way. He's not saying don't listen, go do. Some people are, they don't want any more Bible study. They're done with Bible study. Just give me something to do. Well, we do need something to do. But this isn't stop the Bible study. I don't want to listen anymore. Let me be active in my Christian faith and get out and go do. No. You can never get out and go do well until you become a very good listener. That's why we took that part first. Some people want to get out and begin to evangelize, get out and begin to make a difference for Christ. Good. That's wonderful. You need to listen and be trained and know what you're getting into and know how Satan operates, and you're not anywhere near as mature as you probably think you are, and you need a lot of teaching and a lot of correcting. So there's a lot of listening that's good. It's not listening and doing. It's just don't be merely a listener, right? Merely listening is not the goal. Merely is monon, alone or alone, or only. It must never stop with listening. Good listening results in good interpretations of the Bible, but then when you've interpreted the Bible, now you're accountable, since you know what it means. You are accountable now to believe it, to act upon it. Now, I know in application, sometimes there's not three steps to go out and obey this passage. Sometimes that's not what application is. Sometimes application is just rejoicing in the truth that you're learning. Sometimes it's letting that truth grip your heart so much that it humbles you that you're willing to be more obedient. Sometimes it's refining something and learning that part of what you believe was wrong and you receive that correction. Sometimes that's the proper approach to the Word of God. But often it is getting out and loving someone. It is learning to give thanks more with your lips. It's praising God for the wonders of His excellent character. So there's always application in every passage. Even you're an Old Testament passage and it doesn't directly apply to you, there's still a principle that applies to you. You may not have to go out and sacrifice a little lamb, but you can remember and rejoice in the Lamb of God, right? You can thank God for that salvation. You can develop your understanding of that doctrine better so you can pass it on to others so they understand. So yes, it starts with listening. It does not end with listening. If you wanted to run a race, would you want to get a good start? Some people lose the race because they don't get a good start, right? But imagine getting the best start of everyone that's running, and you're out in front of everyone, like Usain Bolt or something like that, in your dreams. And then you decide after 50 yards, I'm ahead of everyone now, just kind of slow down and not finish. You'd forfeit. You lose. That's what hearers only are. They've come in, taking good notes, they're all, yeah, but they don't do anything about it. Stop at the 50-yard line. Sit down. It's too far to run. Listening is not the goal. Listening is not the finish line. Doing is the finish line. Merely listening treats the word like it is not what it is, going back to that theme, the authoritative word of God, with the power of heaven invested in it. God said that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. It's got power. It has the weight of the King of Kings with it. When he says something, he was able to back up his words and say, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Well, that means that we're all going to have to give account to our words and how we responded to his words. His words last. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? The word of God reached into each one of our souls who are saved and took very proud and blind people and opened our eyes and shattered our hard hearts and brought us to faith against our will in one sense. Our sinful will had to transform that will so that we would be humbled and say, I need you, Lord, save me. The power of the word of God. Isaiah 66:2, for my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. You tremble before the word of God? Have you ever had the experience where you read something and you understand God is talking to you from that word and you better obey? You better do what he says or else. And don't think because you're a child of God that there will not be chastisement. Oh, there will be. There will be pain. He is a father. He knows how to give that pain. And he knows not just how to do it generally. He knows how to do it specifically for you. Jesus said in John 8:51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Do you understand how powerful the word of God is? I just listen to Jesus' word and keep it, I will never see death. That means death will never have power over this person. My body may die, but the New Testament doesn't even acknowledge that as a death. It just says, that's sleeping for a while. It's going to be raised, imperishable. That's what we celebrate next Sunday. Death has no power because of the word. It's that powerful. Do you think such a word as this, that God rewards us for showing up on Sundays and just listening? One of those Pirates of the Caribbean movies is two uneducated, low-life pirates. They're in a rowboat. They're rowing away. I think they wanted to steal a ship or something. One pulls out a Bible. He begins to read and to lecture the other guy, who's doing all the work, by the way. The other pirate criticizes him for pretending to read. You don't know how to read. You do not know. Put the book down. To which the first retorted, it's the Bible. You get credit for trying. No, you don't. Sorry. You don't get credit for reading the Bible. You don't get credit for trying to read the Bible. It's kind of funny, but pretending to have the Word of God in us, it would almost be better that we didn't read it. I mean, think about it from God's perspective. He's given you his word, the word of life, the word of power. You read it, close it like it's not that big of a deal, and go about your day. Forget it 5 minutes, 3 minutes after you've read it. It's gone. Psh. You treated it like it was lighter than the sports page. Because at least the sports page you remembered. It's no big deal. See, this is a major problem for people who have been in church for multiple years. And it's potentially a bigger problem for people who have been in a church where there's the exposition of the Word of God for years and years. That you can actually quietly work yourself into a place where, maybe not in the entirety of your life, but for a lot of what you hear, you have become a hearer of God's Word only. You don't even come in expecting to have life change or to apply.
Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom challenged you to listen well to Scripture with the intent to go do something with what you've heard. He encouraged you to live a life trying to put into practice the example set before you in Jesus and obeying what God says in His Word. But you can't be an obedient doer of the Word without daily seeking to listen intently to interpret it well. Rely on the Holy Spirit to help you know how to apply it in your life. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you, so if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. Apply yourself wholly to the text and apply the text wholly to yourself. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will encourage you to live a life of complete reliance on the Holy Spirit to live out the call to listen well to God's Word, and then be transformed and motivated to go out and live an obedient and full life. He will give practical ways to know how to apply the Word to your life to have a vibrant and growing faith. To listen again to today's message in the book of James, visit hopebiblechurch.org and look under the Sermons tab. Pastor Tom will return soon with another in-depth study of God's Word. So join us again right here on Discover Hope.